If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Depreciation is a passive activity. So if you're not a real estate professional, it offsets passive income. So right. You have to have those passive incomes. It can offset any of the rent you've got. That's why so many people are becoming real estate professionals, or you have a high earner and a spouse. The spouse says, I'll get real estate professional. So you can offset that passive activity against ordinary income. That's the golden ticket for people. That's what I work with every day.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Hey, I want to give you a heads up that today's episode is a double episode. It's twice as long as what we normally record because we're just getting way too much good stuff today. So if you normally tune in and are expecting a 15 to 20 minute episode, this one runs about 30. So yeah, hang out with us today because this is good stuff. And if you really pay attention to what Bill tells us, you'll find a way probably to save a lot of money on your projects. Bill Smith is the Director of Business Development for ELB Consulting. As a tax efficiency engineering practice, ELB works with commercial real estate investors and developers to reduce their tax liability and improve their cash flow through engineered tax studies. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great to have you on. And what a unique privilege we have, because you have, you know, a skill set that many of us need, but few of us understand. So if you can just kind of give us a brief overview, and we're talking about cost segregation today, especially as it pertains to larger assets. And I know that there's maybe, if we have time, we'll get into the smaller asset classes. But what is cost segregation? How does it work? I mean, just give us the down and dirty on what this process looks like.
Okay, essentially cost segregation is a way to optimize your depreciation schedule. So, you know, you buy an asset and it depreciates over time. And Okay. Typically our goal is to buy real estate that's unappreciating assets. So it actually appreciates in value, like that classic car you buy and tell your wife about, right? Hey, it's an investment, baby.
Right.
You just burn through a lot of rubber and tires. But anyway, so you get to depreciate this asset. So what cost segregation does is it takes that asset and we essentially dissect it into all its component parts. So we break it down into each component part and then assign a life to those component parts, because the IRS allows a different life class for structural components, or 27 and a half year for multifamily, right?
Right.
Your walls, your roof, your HVAC, doors, windows, things like that, structural, bathrooms. Then there's, you know, land improvements, your exterior components. You know, those are land improvements which follow a 15-year life. You know, landscaping, sidewalks, parking, tot lot, swimming pool, you know, whatever you've got in your multifamily community, security lights, fencing, et cetera. And then you've got your interior improvements, which become personal property, which are a 5-year class. And there's some 7-year class as far as phone line hookups. And they're still in systems, but most people just use cell phones these days. But those are specialty flooring, hookups for your appliances, specialty lighting, ceiling fans, washer dryer hookups and vents and things like that. So those things have a shorter life. Well, you know, they may actually last 27 and a half years, like a plug. It still allows you to So when we reassign or reclassify that asset with that life, you get deductions up front, which increases your depreciation, which allows you to take greater deductions. You pay less taxes. You have more cash to buy more real estate. That's kind of the goal. And then the other thing that a lot of people are hearing about now is 100% bonus depreciation. Okay, we get it. Like, everyone thinks, oh, good, I get double 100% bonus, so I get extra depreciation. No, the IRS doesn't allow you to double dip. But what 100% depreciation means, and right now it's effective through the end of 2022, is all that short life components, that 15, 7, and 5-year components that we identify, you can then take in year one. So you get all that deduction up front.
You can take 100% of it.
100% of your short life, of your accelerated, anything less than 20 years. So that's what 100% means. It doesn't mean you get extra. So it's a bonus. The bonus is, let's say it's a $10 million property. We identify 35%. That's $3.5 million. You can take that up front in year one. You'll say, oh my gosh, that's more than I need. Well, in a syndication, it's a pass-through, right, to the passive investors. Proportionally, they all get their deductions. But that property might not make that money. It's right. still your depreciation. It carries forward as NOL law. So you don't lose it. I talk to people, they go, but if I don't use it, what happens to it? It's like, it's yours. It's a carry forward NOL loss. So, and then you just have it next year. So you don't pay rent on this property for many years to come. So that's really what depreciation is. And the bonus, kind of, there's a misnomer about that or some misunderstanding, but it just allows you to take all that short life components, all that deductions in year one, but it carries forward. So, you know, you don't lose it if you don't use it.
Let's, if we can, kind of see if I can re-clarify that. So you've got your normal cost segregation, which defines all of these items, whether it be the 27 and a half, 15, 7, 5 year items. Mm-hmm. But right now we've got a special opportunity with 100% bonus depreciation on anything under 20 years. So
that's
the three, like on this $10 million property, if you get $3.5 million, then that is a $3.5 million basically write-off that we have against our income.
That's correct.
And so if the property makes $1 million this year, we still have $2.5 million more that we can take next year.
That's right. Now, you'll show a $2.5 million loss, but you'll still make money and everybody, the investors still get paid their dividends. So that's all good. So everybody gets paid, but you show a loss.
Right. I'm curious. And I know that I'm asking a question that probably everyone wants to know. Maybe there's no good answer for, but why in the world would this, why would they do that? Why would the government come out and say, all right, we're going to do this? What benefit?
Well, 100% bonus came out with the Tax Cuts Jobs Act. So
okay.
Going through this economic stuff, and bonus depreciation has been allowed several times to spur and instill the economy. Real estate is a big part of the economy. We had 100% sure. bonus back in like the early 2000s. We've had 50% a few times. It's just an incentive that came out with the Tax Cuts Jobs Act, which will expire. And so, you know, there's a chance a new administration might change that. Can they get it done this year? Who knows? But, you know, some people are just racing to the door to kind of get this done. But it's got to go through Ways and Means Committee and there's old tax stuff. So it's not just, you know, a pen and a phone to kind of change that. But they do that to instill this. Now, they're still going to get the money. They're still going to be taxed on that at some point. It's just giving the opportunity to, you know, invest more. So it really, hopefully, it spurs more investment. Again, with paying less taxes, you have more cash flow. So it's a cash flow to, one, revitalize your property, which usually people buy and they set aside those funds. Or, two, you know, reinvest in your company if you're, you know, not a multi-company investor, but you're buying your own building. Or, three, buy more real estate. So you can, again, continue to buy more real estate.
Right. That's interesting. Well, that's something certainly to keep in mind. He knows we move forward and look at things that's something that's available. Let's zoom out a little bit if we can, because I know that was kind of a very specific item that we were covering there, but let's zoom out on the cost segregation process. If I come to you and I say, hey, Bill, I've got this property. Is this something you want to do before you close? Is this something you want to do after you close? When is an ideal time for an investor to come to you and say, I want to do a cost segregation study?
Well, I would say anytime. But when you're about to close, that's a great time. I get a lot of investors say, hey, I got this property. I want to evaluate the tax benefits associated with that. Some people are familiar and they'll say, just take a rough percentage. They don't really put it in their, you know, offering memorandum, but they, you know, they understand the cost segregation.
Right.
So a lot of times I'll do a proposal up front or once they close. So there's a thing where you do it in service, and many of your listeners probably are doing value add properties. So they're going to buy a property and they're going to put some money into it. So having asset detail and disposition abandonment, which is an expense, which when you get rid of something and throw it out, then you can expense that versus leaving it on your property as a ghost asset when you put new stuff on. So usually we do it when people acquire the property the year in service. You just need to do it. For example, I've got people now that are bought properties in 2020 and they're like, wait, I need to do it now, but I missed the year end. It's like, doesn't matter. We just need to do it before you file taxes.
Got it.
You don't have to do your 2020. We don't have to finish by 12/31. We just have to finish. If you extend to, you know, October, we just have to finish it before you file your taxes to get to your CPA. So that's one of the misnomers out there. So, but what happens is you do it, you might have never realized this and you bought a property 2 years ago and say, wow, I never heard about this before.
Right.
Well, our firm and any other firm does what we call a look back study. We can say, well, you've taken straight line since 18 and 19. So for 20, now we're going to do cost seg. So we go back and we do a study, break it all down, you know, itemize, find your results. 2018 was a 100% bonus year. It started September 28th, 2017. So anything from that date on forward qualifies for 100% bonus. So we did the study and it just catches up. There's lost opportunity, but you've taken straight line.
Right,
then the
right.
CPA needs to do a form or we can have that done. what's called the 3115 change of accounting method. It just tells the IRS, hey, I used to be straight line, now I'm component level depreciation. And it's an automatic approval. They fill it out. And actually, once you do that or get your cost seg, your next estimated taxes are changed. Some people think, well, I can't benefit till next April, or I'm just not going to do it till year end. It's like, well, everybody rushes to the door then. It's like, no, if you do it now for 2021, an acquisition from January 3rd, your March 15th, your June 15th, September, those estimators are reduced. So your cash flow, not immediate, but it's kind of quarterly. So, you know, that's another misnomer people don't realize about cost seg. So we can do it, you know, years after you bought it, we can do it, you know, before, but how the process works for us and pretty much anyone else is we do a feasibility analysis. It's a nice way to say proposal. Right. We'll look at the property, we get your details, we'll analyze your improvements, and then we'll assess that and come back with a proposal of and the tax benefits and the projections, you know, conservative and optimistic. We don't know until we get there because there's a lot of methods and materials that make a big difference. So it's not just, well, it's always 22% or it's always 43% or it's always 30. It depends. Some properties are just the circumstances around that. The methods and materials the builders and developers use make a difference in the tax efficiency, as we call it. So we come back with an estimate and you say, let's go. And then we inspect the property, do all the details, and you get your final report, you know, 60 days later, for example.
Right, right. That was going to be one of my questions is how long does a study like this take? But it sounds like 60 days-ish.
It's about 60 days. Some people are shorter. They do modeling and residual methods. They don't go into the level of engineering. We do a lot of engineering. Then we have to build a big report. So it takes some time. And actually, it's taken a little longer because of COVID and travel restrictions and all the things. But, you know, in and about 60 days, you know, and usually then we'll give you the preliminary results, which you can use to file taxes. And we assemble a huge report, a report, PDF, multi-tabbed, all the details. And that's essentially your audit defense. And we also give you all the asset details. So for future abandonment and disposition. As I mentioned that earlier, if you're not familiar with that, that means, for example, you tear off a roof and it had some life value left on it. People throw it in the landfill, you know, put it in a dumpster, haul to the landfill. Well, this still had $10,000 worth of value on your depreciation schedule. You've just thrown away, you know, that's a $10,000 expense, you know, you could take. And then you have ghost debt because then you put a new $40,000 or $60,000 roof on. So now your roof is overvalued by that $10,000. So you want to be able to abandon, dispose of that. Take that expense, which is good, and then put the new roof on. And so you don't have what we call ghost assets.
That sounds, I don't know how else to say this, but nitty gritty. Like, you know, there's a lot of things for us as investors that we have to pay attention to. So how does an investor stay on top of things like that? I mean, are they constantly in touch with you? Because, I mean, those are things I would have never thought about.
Well, once you get the details to CPA, hopefully your CPA will do it. But I have people that call me and say, hey, we've got these improvement plans. And sometimes we'll get a job where we bought it in 18 and they did all some improvements in 19 and 20. And now we go and do the study. And so we'll go and do the study on the original acquisition. And then there was $600,000 worth of improvements. So then we got to that's different. Maybe it happened in 18 and 19. So it's different tax years, different depreciation schedules. And once we've done both, then we can say, all that stuff you tore out, we can identify as disposition or abandonment expense. So right. We do that a lot. And then you get, and that's an expense, which is better than depreciation. But yeah. In many cases, for example, you're doing just carpets and maybe countertops and things like that. That's 5-year property. So with bonus depreciation, you've essentially already disposed of that. So unless you're doing structural things, you know, 27 and a half a year and those, disposition is not as big a deal with bonus depreciation. When we didn't have that, our extreme asset detail was very valuable. But once you've written it off, because it's already 5-year property, you've already disposed of it. So that doesn't really matter. So it doesn't matter. But we talk to CPAs, we talk to investors, say, hey, what do you got? I've got people to buy property, go, I'm going to do all these improvements this year. I say, well, do the cost seg now. Just give us your list of improvements, what you've done. And we can just go down the list and give you a life class. And your CPA just books on your depreciation schedule. You don't even really need depreciation for that. So gotcha. We work with our clients for that. Purpose.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure you do a lot of coaching along the way and even explaining what it is that you do. Cause even being in the business, I would get overwhelmed probably and have a lot of questions along the way. What does someone budget? I know every project's different, but is there a kind of a round number like on a per million, you know, asset cost, or how does someone say, hey, this is something I'm building in to do a cost segregation study?
You know, it's hard to do that. Some people have somewhat fixed fees. Most of our studies, a true study, would fall between the $5,000 and $10,000 range. It just depends on the asset. and things. So if you have a single floor plan, because we have to look at each floor plan sure. and count every outlet, count everything in there and break that up. But if you've got then 200 units of that floor plan and you've got 400 units, it's only two floor plans, then that's fairly easy to do.
Sure.
17 floor plans, we're like, there's a lot more work to do. So it really depends on the engineering. So we evaluate each job by the engineering hours that it takes.
Right.
But generally, those, you know, they range between, you know, $5,000 and $10,000 most studies. Even huge, you know, $60 million towers might be, you know, $12,000. You think, well, that's huge. And the benefits are ginormous. But if we could, you know, charge on a percent, we would. We could. We make more money. But it's basically an engineering hour. So some of those are, you know, I mean, a $2 million property might be about the same price as an $8 to $10 or $12 million property. I mean, right. The proportionate rate doesn't go up. Because there's so much engineering good that goes into a project regardless of size.
That seems like a no-brainer. I mean, why isn't everybody out, you know, getting cost segregation studies down if it's, I mean, if it's under 20 grand and you're talking millions in stuff that you can write off, like what?
Well, they are. They are. But we're saying right. And some people don't even know about it. You'd be surprised. These huge companies that I call, they go, I never knew about this. You know, guys buying, you know, 20 shopping malls and huge, you know, these huge centers we've done, they had no idea about it. And then the small investors, some of these guys that you're working with and your clients that are buying $5 and $8 and $10 million projects, you know, apartment multifamily, whether individually or syndicated, they're pretty savvy about it because they want to be a real estate professional. That's the other thing where this depreciation is a passive activity. So if you're not a real estate professional, it offsets passive income. So you have to have those passive incomes that can offset any of the rent you've got. That's why so many people are becoming real estate professionals, or you have a high earner and a spouse. The spouse says, I'll get real estate professional. So you can offset that passive activity against ordinary income. That's the golden ticket for people. That's what I work with every day.
Interesting. Do you think the lack of familiarity with this subject is just because, you know, the CPAs just don't know anything about it? Or why is this not more widely discussed?
You know, I'm not really sure. CPAs, it depends, are savvy about it. Some and some are not. Some just say, oh yeah, they have a misperception from years ago, or it's too expensive, doesn't pay back. It's not a, you know, it just depends on the CPA. But
right.
A lot of CPAs don't, they're not experts in this. I mean, CPAs, they might even be a tax CPA, but they deal with the software and they're more like an auditor. I mean,
right.
You know, I talk to CPAs all the time. We work with CPAs because I don't want to do this. I'm going to call Bill. They see our report and go, this is CYA. We use you guys. And so we educate a lot of CPAs, and some are very active people like Brandon Hall, and he's a real estate CPA. So he's very active in this stuff. And some are just our CPAs and our client buys a little real estate. You know, I usually talk to the owners and then they introduce me to the CPA. So
right.
We educate the CPA. A lot of them don't really, it's not their fault. They have, you know, tons of other stuff to know. We specialize in this segment. I mean, that's what we do.
Right. No, that's fantastic. Let's briefly, if we can, switch gears and go from the large asset class to the smaller asset classes. Is this something that we can do on single family rentals, on, you know, 1 to 4 unit multifamily? I mean, is there an end to what we can do a cost segregation study on?
Sometimes, you know, if it's too old of a property, too old of ownership, doesn't matter the age of the property, because when you buy it, you get the depreciation schedule starts from day one that you buy it, even if it's built in the 20s. Right?
Sure.
But we do a lot of or 1 to 4 families, single families. I was working with an investor the other day, and he did a $58,000 single family in upstate New York, you know, up on the Erie Canal, a little town up there. And he's like, hey, I buy these smaller properties. Does it make sense? ELB Consulting has a division called DIY Cost Seg. So it's like do it yourself, but it's really do it yourself. You just input the core data and then it comes back and does a modeling, like a lot of our competitors use modeling, but it uses a modeling calculation. It comes back and gives you a quick and easy 5-minute low cost alternative. It will go up to $1 million on residential 1 to 4. And then if it's a 5+ unit, it becomes a commercial property and they're, you know, more expensive, but you know, with my discount, you know, it's like $640. And so there's a lot of talk about those, like on Bigger Pockets and things, and oh, no audit defense and things like that. It's like, we calculate it. It's more conservative because we're not inspecting the property. It's going to err conservative. But if there's ever an audit, we fully defend it, and we're going to send an engineer out to that property and inspect it and break out every single component as we would with that $7,000 study on the, you know, $5 million multifamily. So you know, you're protected completely, but it's quick, it's easy. You know, I do a portfolio of homes all the time, and we also do commercial. We do any type of commercial. We can actually go up to $3 million on that. But what you don't get is all that asset detail and all those things, which there's properties under $1 million that makes sense to get the full study. So I counsel people, say, what are your needs? What are your goals? It's brand new. It's really good. So, you know, go with the low cost. You don't need all that detail. But sometimes they need that because there's going to be a lot of value add. So I talk to the folks and say, here's the cost benefit analysis. Maybe there's a $4,000 difference, but if you get $50,000 more in deductions, that might be worth it, right? Yeah. What's the value for deduction? If you're a real estate professional, it's worth it. If you're passive and you just, you know, it's just, it may not be worth it. So again, I ask them about their class of how they can use the depreciation. Because if you can't use it, some people straight line might be fine. You know, it might meet their needs, but right. You know, depreciation, it's a really a tool that's used pretty heavily in the industry, but still a lot of people are unaware.
Right. And so that's a tool that we can actually just go to your website and use.
Yeah, you go to our website. It's DIYCostSeg.com. And I've got a discount code I can share right now. It's 1200. It saves $50 off of residential. And I would ask people to call me, and then I step them through it. Usually step through the first one. You pay online using PayPal or credit card, and it's done in 10 minutes. So yeah, that's very easy. We have a lot of people coming to that. It's really picked up. We introduced that about 2.5 years ago, you know, after 15,000 studies and all the historical data and things, we basically built a modeling system.
Right.
So a doctor's office, a convenience store, a self-storage, is it conditioned self-storage, non-conditioned self-storage? We have so many classifications of property, warehouse, flex property, lots of office, less office, because that all makes a difference in the results of the CostSeg study.
Right. That's fantastic. I will be on your website checking that out. That's for sure. Bill, if you were to take everything you know about cost segregation and give one thing you see you have to do this as it pertains to cost seg, what would that one thing be?
Well, the one thing is to, when you buy property, evaluate it. Determine, is this going to give you value? Evaluate and compare. You know, look at a couple options, look at what people price it at, and look at what your benefits will be. I mean, everyone gives a range, and you know, our company and everyone else says, here's a range, but are they going to meet that range? You know, we like to underpromise, overdeliver. But really is give it a fair shake. Some people are like, well, I don't know, or there's going to be recapture rate. You've probably heard of that. You know what I'm talking about there?
Mm-mm, I do not.
So recapture is one of the things that people say, oh my gosh, I don't do cost seg because of recapture rate. So once you pay that depreciation, you have to pay taxes on that excess rate. Well, the chances are ordinary or capital gains rate is going to go up to ordinary income tax rate here pretty soon. And that kind of eliminates that argument. If you're flipping properties, it doesn't really make sense. If you've got a 3 to 5 year hold, that's going to make, or even a long-term hold. Like people say, I'm going to hold this price. This is a family legacy property. We're going to hold it for 20 years, maybe, or it's my business. It's like, are you ever going to do any upgrades to it? Well, yeah. You know, in 5, 10 years, you got a new flooring and this, you got a tank, you got to keep up with the other, you know, doctor's offices, keep up with the Joneses to get more clients in, right? So yeah, you want to do cost segregation. So you always, the biggest takeaway is look into it and see if it works for you. I mean, that's the key thing is, does it work for you and your tax? Because it's always about the tax situation.
Right, right, right. That's awesome. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
One thing, I mean, you ask these surprise questions. Eat right, stay healthy. It's the first of the year, of course, but just, I do podcasts like this.
Right.
I write the blogs for our website, ELB, you know, CostSeg.com. There's a lot of blogs out there. I'm fairly active on LinkedIn. There's people that are way more active than me in our industry, but I tell you, but just keeping in touch with the investor pool and the investors, as I like to work with the investors.
Yeah. I mean, writing your blog posts and things like that, I'm sure you're always learning, even as your own, you know, divulging what's already in your head. I'm sure you learn as you go.
Absolutely. I mean, there was a big tax code thing that came out the other day, which I put a blog on, and it like went crazy. It extended the energy tax credits, which, you know, are different than cost seg. But I mean, it got a lot of looks really quick. I was surprised, you know, I'm not like looking for looks and likes and that kind of stuff, but it's like, okay, saw some activity. So I put on LinkedIn and then people linked and they can read more. And so, right. And I try to do, we educational stuff. I mean, it's not like, you know, stump preaching and chest beating. It's more, you know, what's educational. So I learn and I read other people's blogs. I learn from this. I go, oh yeah, that's a good idea. You know?
Right. Right.
And I listen to other people's podcasts. I'm sure listen to mine, and you know, we all do the same thing. And I believe in co-opetition. So
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. The third question, this is part of the final four we always ask. So the third question is, when it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
You know, I like to give back a lot. We do a lot through our church. We do a lot through other entities and, you know, some of the community here in the community, the Durham food banks and things like that. I like to do a lot of that. So I like to give back and help. Everybody's locked up right now, so it's kind of crazy. It's hard to give back.
It is. And we've seen a lot of that, a lot of those charitable organizations suffering just because that is becoming harder, unfortunately. But no, that's fantastic. Bill, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, how do we do that?
You can reach me at bill@elbcostseg.com. That's bill@elbcostseg.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Bill Smith. If there might be one other one on there, but if you put ELB, people find me pretty quick. So I'm on LinkedIn. And then my phone number in Raleigh is 919-858-6140. That's 919-858-6140. I do work all across the country. I spent many years in Arizona. My cell phone still Arizona call. So I do a lot of West Coast clients. I do work in Florida. I mean, we do work everywhere. So I'm not like, you know, confined to Raleigh, North Carolina. I work with a lot of investors that are all over the country.
Right. That's awesome. Bill, thanks so much for your time today. I certainly appreciate it. This was super informative and educational.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate being on your show.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.